Acts tonight. Acts chapter number 13. This is my water bottle, brother. All right, thank you. Acts chapter number 13. My display is set up back there. I do have new prayer cards if you'd like one of those. If you've got any questions about our ministry, about what we do, I'd be glad to answer those questions for you tonight. And again, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for your prayers and your financial giving. We are truly honored to be one of your missionaries. Acts chapter number 13 tonight. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were come to Salmais, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry." And tonight I'd just like to preach a message entitled, "The Partnership Between the Church and the Missionary." The partnership between the church and the missionary. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with these dear folks. Thank you for this pastor, Lord, and his vision to do a mission conference. Thank you for these other missionaries that are here tonight representing their fields, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you please empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. Lord, give me good pace and help me to do what you've called me to do, and that is preach. Father, I pray for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. Help us tonight, for we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to say tonight that I'm grateful that I grew up in a church that loved missionaries. I can remember as a teenager and as a young child the excitement when I'd walk into the back of a church or the church there, and there would be a missionary display set up. I knew then that it was going to be a good evening service. I think about the first missionary that I ever remembered. It was a man by the name of Charles Hurleston. Brother Charles Hurleston was a missionary to the island of St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. I always remember Charles Hurleston talking about the Blue Water Bible College and the Blue Water Baptist Church there in St. Thomas. The second missionary I ever remember was a man by the name of Chaco Mani. He was from India. And Brother Chaco was a church planner. And as a teenager, I remember him talking about the need for mopeds. You think, what in the world did they do with mopeds? And Brother Chaco would buy mopeds and he would give them to the preacher boys there in India. And they would go out into the villages and they would carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the excitement of the church getting together and purchasing mopeds for the country of India. I am grateful for other men and other ministries such as the Pacific Garden Missions and the Roloff Homes. I'm grateful for men like Joe Passero, who's in Germany, Rick Hildebrand, who serves with Rock of Ages, Roger Tooley, who's a missionary in England. I remember all of these missionaries and hearing what God had called them to do. You see, tonight, these were people who gave up a normal life to answer the call to the mission field all around the world. You'll find tonight as you talk to missionaries are not normal people. They're just not. God has called them to give up a regular life, a regular job, a regular family setting, if you would, to a certain extent, and carry the gospel message to the world. I want to say tonight that missions is the main goal of the New Testament church. That is the entire reason that God established the church, was for sending forth of missionaries and carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. The term missions itself means a sending or being sent. It means a person sent or a number of persons sent by the authority of another to perform a servant or service. In Acts chapter number 13 in our text tonight, we have the first missionaries being sent out of a local church for the purpose of spreading the gospel to the world. And for a few moments tonight, I would like us to attend this local body of believers here at Antioch as they send forth the first two missionaries ever sent out of a local church. We see here the Bible says now there was at Antioch. We see the church at Antioch. This church had been founded because of the persecution that arose after the stoning of Stephen. You can find that in Acts chapter number 11. The church was there at Jerusalem, and as Stephen was stoned, the church began to scatter, and along with it, the gospel message. And this church was established as a result of persecution forcing them to spread out, the believers, to spread out into the known world. I say also, this was the first Gentile church that was founded. You also find that in Acts chapter number 11. Most of the early New Testament churches were made up primarily of Jews, but this was the first Gentile church to be founded. This church also was where the first place that the early believers were called Christians. You find that in Acts 11 and verse 26. You see, the church at Antioch was a great church. It was founded on the gospel message, and it was founded for the purpose of worship, edification, and spreading the gospel to the world around them. Tonight, as we look at this church, I just want to give you three simple things, and I'll be done tonight. Number one, I want to see here tonight in this church, and this applies to the church today, I see the importance of being a part of a local church. The Bible says in verse number 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And then it goes on to list those prophets and teachers. If you will, notice that little word in. That means throughout, a part, among, or that which is joined. In other words, these men that is listed below, they are a part of this local church, this local assembly. I want to say tonight that a missionary needs the local church, but the local church needs missionaries. A missionary needs the local church, but the local church needs missionaries. You see these men that are listed, Barnabas and Simon and Lucius and Menem and Saul and all of these men were part of a local assembly of believers. I want to say tonight quickly under this heading or under this thought of the importance of being part of a local church, let me say this. A missionary needs to be a member of a local Bible-believing church. I think about my own self. I'm a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. My pastor is Philip Johnson. That is where my membership is. That is the church that I am a part of. That is the church that I am sent out of. You see, this is important because it gives the missionary accountability and stability. I guarantee you tonight that if I, as a missionary, if I was not doing my job, the first one to call me on it would be my pastor. He would say, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Why? Because I am operating under his authority. I am accountable to the sending church that I am out of. Not only does it give accountability and stability, but it also protects against false teaching and false doctrine. If my pastor found out that I was teaching false teaching or false doctrine, I guarantee you he would have me in his office and me and him would have a come to Jesus moment, if you will. And he would not allow me to continue to go out of that local church. You see, there are some that think that they can go out as missionaries and not be a part of the local church. Understand this, they're not accountable to anyone. And not only that, if they start teaching false doctrine, there's no one to call them on that. Not only that, but it also provides safety in time of struggle and difficulty. You see, I have a pastor that I can seek counsel from. I have men in the church that I can go to and talk to about issues and problems. And not only that, but I know men and women right now who pray for us. And if I run into any struggle or any issue or problem, they're going to be there to help me. And I think that's very good to have that. So a missionary needs to be a member of a local sending church. But consider this tonight, a church should support and send out missionaries. You see, not only should the missionary be accountable to that local church, but the local church should support and send out missionaries. This allows the church to reach beyond itself. Understand this tonight, a missionary is contracted by the local church for the purpose of carrying the gospel to the world beyond. You see, as you are one of my supporting churches, I am in contract with you. And that contract is that I am going to take the gospel and go to inmates and reach inmates with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have entered into a covenant. And everything that I do and every minister that I'm a part of and every soul that I win, you as a local church have a part of it because you're in a contract with me. I think about these other missionaries. I think you said 20 that you support. Every one of them missionaries you're in a contract with. And you've contracted them to go out and carry the gospel to the whatever part of the world God has called them to go to. Not only does it allow the missionary, not only is the local church contracted to send these missionaries out, but consider this. This also allows the church to be aware of the need to reach the world with the gospel. It allows the church to be aware of the need to reach the world with the gospel. As I came in here tonight, I began to look at these flags. And the reason these flags, I assume, are here tonight is because of the mission conference. And as you look at these flags and as you hear missionaries present, you come to realize that there's a world beyond Evington, Virginia that needs the gospel. Israel needs the gospel. Spain needs the gospel. South Korea needs the gospel. Which one is it? That's the Philippines. Needs the gospel. Brazil, South America, France, Canada, England, all of these flags, Egypt. There's a world, India, they need the gospel. And supporting missionaries allows you to see that. There are many ways you can support a missionary. Let me hit this quickly. You can do it through prayer. You can do it through financial support. You can do it through special giving. You can do it through encouragement. There's all types of ways. And so this allows the church, as they support missionaries, to support the work of God in many ways. Secondly, not only do we see tonight the importance of being part of a local church, but the importance of being active in the local church. In verse 2, the Bible says this, as they what ministered to the Lord and fasted. The word minister here tonight means to do service. You see, being part of a local body of believers is only part of what a missionary should be doing. A missionary should be servants. Paul and Barnabas, before they were ever missionaries, were servants. They served in their local church. I want to say tonight that a missionary must learn to serve in their local church. How can a man serve on the mission field if he don't know how to serve his local assembly? I think about in my life, God prepared me for all of this. And I think about how God allowed me to teach Sunday school. And God allowed me to be an usher. And God allowed me to work with the RU program. And God allowed me to sing in the choir. And all of these things. And as I served, God was preparing me to go to the prisons and win men and women with the gospel. Missionaries ought to be servants tonight. Jesus was a great example of service. In fact, some of the greatest servants that I know are missionaries. They would give you the shirt off their back even if it was the only one they had. I've got a friend named Coulter Patterson who's a missionary. And I promise you tonight, if I called him and I told him I needed his help desperately, he would get on an airplane if he could and he would come and help me because he has a heart to serve. But consider this tonight, the local church should serve missionaries. The Bible says they ministered. They fasted. One of the greatest things a church will ever learn to do is serve alongside of missionaries. I'm going to be transparent with you tonight. Missionaries are often treated very badly. They're often looked at as second-rate Christians. But I say tonight, the call to be a missionary is a high calling. Consider tonight, many do not know the heartache that comes with deputation. Imagine loading your family up and you're gone for weeks at a time and basically the only thing that really you own is a minivan and what you have in a suitcase. It's very trying and challenging and very difficult. I think about how that there's not only the churches, there are some churches that are very welcoming, there's some churches that could care less you're there. That's just part of being a missionary. I'm being transparent. I hope that's okay. There are some churches that treat you better than you can even imagine. And there's some churches that they're going to put you in the sorriest hotel they can find. That's just part of it. Not only that, but you'll never understand all of the struggle and the heartache of deputation unless you've done it. But you'll never understand the struggle to balance home and ministry. Pastor knows a little bit about that. Knows about it. There's a difficulty finding that balance between home and ministry and serving your family and loving your family and also fulfilling the ministry. Then there's spiritual warfare that takes place. The conflict that goes on between the missionary's ears and their mind and the attacks that go on. Many will not know all of these things. I want to say tonight that if you want to be a blessed church, learn to take care of your pastor, learn to take care of missionaries, and God will bless you for that. You say, how do I serve a missionary? Well, go with them. Go experience what they go through. Plan mission trips. Go find out what they're doing. Go experience what they're doing. Go be a part of it. How do you serve missionaries? Call or email them just to talk to them. Sometimes a missionary will get a call from a supporting pastor and think, what did I do? You know? Well, did I mess up? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Was there a misunderstanding? But hey, it's a blessing sometimes for maybe a church member, a pastor, somebody just to shoot an email. Hey, I just want to see how you're doing. Hey, we're praying for you. Hey, I don't want to know nothing about your ministry. I'm just calling to be a friend. Remember them is another way to serve missionaries. Remember to pray for them. We call these prayer cards. Get one. Pray for the missionary. Don't forget them. Think about this. Ask questions about their ministry and their call. Listen, you'll find out if missionaries really called to where their God is called to do, they'll want to talk about what they're doing. My wife's had to tell me before, Thomas, we don't always have to talk about prison. I'm sorry, that's what's on my mind. But a missionary, ask questions about what they're doing. Be interested in what they're doing. Be interested in the country and the people and the ministry that they're involved in. All of those ways are ways of ministering to that missionary. I believe when Paul and Barnabas would return to this church on occasion, I believe that this was a high day. Paul and Barnabas is coming. They're going to put up a display and they're going to tell about what God's doing in Macedonia and all these. Hey, they're coming. We need to be excited. Hey, Paul and Barnabas is coming. That's the way a mission conference and a missionary that is coming ought to be treated. Minister to those missionaries. Then I say thirdly, quickly tonight, I see the importance of the work. The Bible says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. In verse 5, it says they preached the word. Let me say this tonight. The missionary's work is specific. The Holy Ghost said, separate them for a called out work. Let me say this tonight. A missionary should have a plan in mind, and they should have a direction. Whether a missionary is a church planner, a health ministry, an evangelistic outreach, or some other ministry, a missionary ought to have a plan of action in mind in what they are going to do for the Lord. I think about how God calls missionaries. Missionaries and missionary life should be a call of great vision and great direction. God called Paul to go to the Gentiles. God called David Livingston to go to the interior of Africa. God called Jim Elliott to reach those headhunters in the Amazon. God called Hudson Taylor to go to China. God called Ed Ballou to go to the prisons. And all of these men, if you read about their lives and study their lives, you'll find out they were men of vision and direction, and they knew what God had called them to do. Mission work is the greatest work in the world because the missionary is carrying the gospel to the world. But only should the missionary's work be specific, but the church's work should be specific. In verse 3 it says, and as they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. Notice it, they sent them away. They sent them away. Let me say tonight, this church was willing to let them go and do the work that God had called them to do. Sure, Barnabas and Paul would be missed. Sure, they would have to fill a hole. Sure, all of that would happen. But understand this, they understood that the gospel was needed greater in other places. The church today needs to learn to send missionaries away. Allow men and women to answer the call. Allow God to send laborers in the field. When's the last time you prayed and asked God to send a missionary out of your church? The Bible says in Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. What if God wants to send missionaries out of this church? Are you asking him to do so? Well, what if they're a Sunday school teacher, a choir leader, or a deacon, or this or that or the other? Listen, God will fill that hole. You let that individual go do what God's called him to do. Are there needs in the church? Yes, but consider the need is greater around the world and around the corner. The greatest work a church will ever do is missions outreach. Outreach to those that are lost wherever they are. Tonight, as I close my thought, and I know I've been brief, I want to give you this or give you just a few things quickly by way of closing. Tonight, I know of a church that has died. The church no longer exists. If we were to go out there and get in my Mercury and drive to a little town near Salisbury, North Carolina, I can take you to that church tonight. The lights are not on. The air conditioning's not working. And the halls of that church sits empty. I asked the former member, I said, what happened? Why is that church no longer there? This is what she said. We were too busy ministering within instead of ministering without. They got focused on what was going on inside the walls instead of what was happening outside the walls. You see, I believe a lot of churches today, that's where they're at. Within, but not without. As I close this, I leave you with these three things. What does supporting and being involved in missions do for the local church? Number one, it will cause the church to look without. It'll cause you to see that there's a world beyond your little world that needs the gospel. I don't know, I think you had the missions thing last night as well. I don't know the missionaries that were here last night. I don't know the missionaries that were here this morning. But I hope you'll realize through these missionaries, there's a world without. There's a world beyond this little area in Central Virginia. Not only will it cause the church to look without, but it also cause the church to look within. You say, what do you mean by that? It'll cause people to say, what can I do concerning missions? As you begin to see these flags and these missionaries, and you begin to see the labor that's going on, it ought to cause you to look within and say, look, what can I do? You say, I'm too old. No, you're not. You say, I'm too young. No, you're not. God can use all ages. I've got several men that go with me that are 75 years old and older. And they walk to those cells and they get down on their knees and they look through a steel slot in a door and they talk to an inmate. 75 years old. You're not too old to serve the Lord. You're also not too young. We've got several missionaries that are 21, 22, 23 years old coming up. They're going to go do the same thing. They're going to get down beside those slots and they're going to talk to those inmates and they're going to go out on those yards and they're going to win men to the Lord. Then I say thirdly, it'll also cause a church to look beyond. Being mission-minded will cause you to be a dreamer. I think about the men that I work with. When we get out of prison, we go back to the prophet's chambers after we eat McDonald's. Not McDonald's, Burger King. We don't go to McDonald's. Burger King or cookout. Once we get back to the prophet's chambers, you know what we talk about? Ministry. What about this idea? What about that? What about that opportunity? You see, when you get involved in missions, it'll cause you to be a dreamer. To see what God can do, not just here, but around the entire world. Father, thank you for the evening, the opportunity to preach the Word of God. Thank you for the liberty that was granted tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this church, bless this pastor. Thank you for their desire to have a mission conference. Thank you for their desire just to have me come by. Father, I pray tonight that you take the message and may you speak to hearts. Lord, maybe that individual's here that God's dealing with about a call to go to the field. Maybe this church realizes they need to do more without instead of within. Lord, I don't know what you're doing here tonight. I've just done my best to be obedient. Father, take the message, speak to hearts according to thy will in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.